in the matter of State versus David Smith. May we please have appearances of counsel?
Margaret McLean, Assistant Deputy Public Defender, on behalf of Mr. Smith.
Ms. Thompson.
Karen Thompson, the ACLU of New Jersey, as amicus.
Deputy Attorney General William P. Cooper Dobb for the state.
Welcome, counsel. Ms. McLean. Please go ahead.
Your Honors, and I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal if necessary. David Smith spent 3 years in prison and had two different courts uphold this traffic stop for conduct that the state has now conceded was entirely lawful. And so even though this appeal is moot, and even though the state and I agree on the interpretation of many of the relevant statutory provisions in this case, the issues here are of significant public importance and likely to recur. This court has never issued an opinion clarifying what tinted windows are legal or illegal under our motor vehicle code, and it should do so in this case. Moreover, the court should emphasize the importance of the state's burden of proof at a suppression hearing to justify the warrantless stop of a car. This court should reaffirm that police officers can't simply utter magic words like tinted windows to justify a stop. They instead have to provide actual facts that allow a reviewing court to do its job, to review, to independently evaluate whether the officer had reasonable suspicion of a traffic violation. I'd like to briefly run through the four things that the Attorney General and I agree on, at least from their brief, and ask the court affirm these principles, and then I'd turn to the primary area of disagreement, which is the interpretation of section. So the four things the state and I agree on are, first, this car stop was plainly illegal because the state failed to establish reasonable suspicion that the front side windows or windshield of Smith's car had added window tint. Second, section 75 of the Motor Vehicle Code does not regulate window tinting. It regulates safety glass and safety glazing, which does not include added aftermarket tint. Third, section 74 of the code only deals with the front side windows and windshield of a car. We'll talk more about the rest of that in a second. But then fourth, as this court held in Carter, a police officer's mistaken belief about what the motor vehicle code prohibits cannot save an illegal stop. And again, even though the Attorney General and I agree on these principles, these four things should be clarified in this court's opinion, because two separate courts upheld the traffic stop here, even though the state conceded that the conduct was lawful.
I don't want to interrupt your flow, but does the fourth point need to be addressed?
No, this court did so clearly in Carter.
Go ahead.
Carter is clear, but mistakes of law are not okay. But the first three, for sure, because the appellate division upheld this stop, and this court has never interpreted Section 75, which does not apply, or Section 74. So turning to the primary area of disagreement, as I understand it in this case, the interpretation of Section 74, and specifically the second paragraph of Section 74. And I'm asking this court to hold that Section 74 means what the plain statutory language says, that no person can drive a car with any signs, posters, stickers, or other non-transparent materials upon the windshield or front windows of a car. And non-transparent is clear and it is unambiguous. If you can see through something, it is not non-transparent. Window tint, so long as you can see through it, is transparent. It's not a non-transparent material, and therefore it is not prohibited by Section 74. And as this court has repeatedly held, the plain language of a statute is the best indicator of the statute's meaning, and words have to be given, have to be read as they are commonly used and ordinarily understood.
Go ahead, Chief.
You're focused on the word non-transparent.
Yes.
Do you have the statute in front of you?
I do, yes.
Could you look to the third paragraph?
Yes.
And tell us what meaning that has and whether that could inform the standard for paragraph two. It speaks to vehicles equipped or loaded as to, quote, unduly interfere with the driver's vision to the front and to the sides. Does that inform the standard that the legislature put in paragraph 2 as well?
So two alternative answers. First answer is no, insofar as it applies to window tint, because it speaks of the driver's vision to the front and the side, and no level of window tint prevents the driver from seeing out of the car. Insofar as this court disagrees and finds that this is somehow regulating adding tint, then it could inform, it could provide some new, some guidance as to what non-transparent means. And again, this bolsters the idea that not all window tint is illegal, only tint that really unduly interferes with vision to the front and sides.
If your first answer is the correct one, what do you think the statute in the third paragraph is designed to address?
I think it means that you can't load your car so full of boxes that you can't see out the sides. I think it means you can't put things in front of your windshield on the dashboard of your car that you can't see out. I think that's part of why it says includes this as loaded.
But it also has equipped. Tinting is arguably something that's equipped to a car.
Yes. However, again, with unduly interfering with the driver's vision, a driver can see out of tinted windows. The driver's vision is not, has not been unduly interfered with tinted windows. At most, people outside the car have a hard time seeing in, but that's not what the phrase driver's vision means. It doesn't say to unduly interfere with the driver's vision out of a car or others' vision into a car. It focuses on the person driving the car and whether they can see out. And so under, I think that's the best reading, the clearest reading of this statute. And it doesn't prohibit window tint that's not opaque, window tint that you can see through.
Are there regulations that inform the enforceability of this statute with regard to tinting?
So the regulations at issue, as the regulation that Cohen essentially grafted onto this statute, is entirely inapplicable. It doesn't change the plain language of the statute. It doesn't even apply to this statute. The regulation at the time Cohen was decided was about the annual inspection of cars, which used to, before 2010, include checking things like windshield wipers, checking things like...
Forgive me for it. I'm looking at the word non-transparent, because you're saying it's not applicable. I'm looking at the term non-transparent. Non-transparent can work two ways. You drive looking at and people looking in. You agree?
I think that with respect to paragraph 2,
yeah,
it's limiting the materials you can place on the windows, and those materials are only prohibited if they are non-transparent.
I understand, but it applies to someone looking in. If it's non-transparent and a person can't look in, you agree that's a violation of law?
Yes, that would at least provide reasonable suspicion. If the officer cannot see into a car, that would provide reasonable suspicion that the driver has added a non-transparent.
Yeah, so the reason why I'm asking this question, because there are a whole bunch of regulations, and do they apply to buses and trucks or just to cars? And they include federal regulations about this whole 70%, whatever the term is, with respect to transparency. Do any of those apply? And would the 70%, if it applied, they may not, this may apply to trucks and buses, would that fit within that category of transparent? So I have a couple questions here. So start with what regulations, if any, are applicable to 74?
None of them. First, because the statutory language is clear and unambiguous, and the statutory language is what controls. And so we can't look beyond.
So you're telling me, even if there were a regulation that required before market 70%, and that obstructed vision inside the car from a police officer, then you're, then where would we be?
So insofar as we're talking, under this statute, it's, under this statute, if the material that has been added is transparent, it's not a violation. If it's non-transparent, it is a violation. As for the third paragraph, if it's been equipped in a way to unduly interfere with the driver's vision, then that could be a violation. But no regulations, neither the manufacturing standards of the federal regulation, nor these provisions of the administrative code, of New Jersey's administrative code, provide guidance as to what non-transparent or unduly interferes means. That's my primary position.
And as far as you know, cars before market do not contain tint that violate the statute?
No, because this statute prohibits material upon, which means added to the window. The federal regulations, and this is part of the reason that 75 doesn't apply to window, to aftermarket window tint at all. The federal regulations are about manufacturing requirements of the glass itself, which does have some built-in tint. So the glass that we generally see in cars is not crystal clear. It allows at least 70% of the light to pass through.
Can I ask you a question as a follow-up to Justice Albin's question? You included a predicate in there that I want to get your views on. He looked at this, at the wording of the statute and said, shouldn't it be allowed for people to look in as well as the driver to look out? This is a Title 39 statute that regulates public safety on the road. The statute is meant to make sure that the driver of the vehicle can see, so he or she can operate the vehicle safely. Whether or not law enforcement can look inside should not be an element of his interpretation. Am I correct on that?
Yes, and kind of adding to that is the statute was written in 1937 and has not been modified since then. And window tint, as we understand it, as is used today, didn't exist in 1937. When the statute was passed, they were worried about cars that literally had their windows blocked.
So suppose there is a chemical that can be discovered that allows a driver to look, to vision not to be impaired in any way, but does not allow someone outside the car from looking in. Why would that violate the statute? It wouldn't, would it?
It definitely would not violate the third paragraph. I think if it's, I don't think it would violate the second paragraph, though I think that might be a little bit closer if the material is truly essentially a one-way mirror. I'm not certain that that is truly a non-transparent, is not truly a transparent material.
It seems to me that by applying the requirement that not only can the driver see safely, but someone standing outside can see in, it becomes a law enforcement tool rather than a regulation or statute about safety on the roads. Title 39 was not designed to make police officers' jobs easier to look inside a car. It's meant people who drive cars safely drive those cars.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And the statute is, it's dictating when police can pull over a car under this statute. And whether it's, whether it might be conceivably good public policy to have a different law, well, the law is what it is.
So there is a caveat in Title 39 that I want to bring to your attention if you're not aware of it, but I'm sure you probably are aware of it. 39.3-75.2, are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay, that's an enabling statute. It gives power to the Director of Division of Motor Vehicles. And in it, and I'll just quote a little piece of it, it says, in establishing the standards and specifications, the director shall consider to the greatest extent possible the safety of law enforcement officers who, during the performance of their duties, may find it necessary to inspect or otherwise observe the interior of a motor vehicle having a windshield and windows to which an improved material or product is applied, right?
Yes.
I mean, so that statute, at least, considers necessities of law enforcement. There may not be have been any regulations promulgated pursuant to it, and I'm not aware of any, but at least that enabling statute takes the needs of law enforcement into consideration, yes?
So I believe what you just read is the enabling statute for the medical sunscreening medical tint statute that directs the agency to promulgate regulations to affect the purposes of that act. And that act is not what is not the same as Section 74. It's
how about your earlier answer about the meaning of paragraph 3 in 74, where you said thoughtfully, this is about the driver and the driver's vision. That limiting language does not appear in paragraph 2.
Yes. And this is why under paragraph 2, if the officer cannot see into the car, that would provide reasonable suspicion that the car has a non-transparent material upon the windows, upon the front windows and the windshield. But short of that, Section 74 is not violated. It's impossible to tell from the outside looking in what the driver can and can't see, though experience dictates that even under the darkest window tints, you can still see out. But if an officer cannot see into the car, that might not be proof beyond a reasonable doubt that paragraph 2 has been violated, but it provides reasonable suspicion that the material added to those windows is akin to a sign, poster, or sticker because it is non-transparent. It is opaque. If your honors want to talk about the medical tint statute, I have a couple of reasons for why that doesn't dictate what 74 means. So again, first, the violation is under 74, the plain language is clear, and this court shouldn't look outside of the statutory language that is setting the bounds of a traffic violation.
Just give me the citation to the medical tint statute.
It's the 39:3-75.1. And then the next subsection is the 75.2, which I believe is what you, Your Honor, read, which is kind of authorizing the promulgation of regulations about that statute.
And you think that 75.2 just deals with 75.1 and not with 3-75?
I believe
in general.
So. That is because it's in that same subsection, essentially. I think that that is talking about the medical tint rules.
That the only concern of the director was looking in for people who have medical problems, not for the rest of the public. That's your interpretation?
So I think that the medical tint statute was promulgated decades after 74 was prohibited, and it was promulgated after the regulation that Cohen kind of engrafted onto 74 had, after that had happened. Same thing with the consumer fraud statute. Both of those happened when the appellate division had said this administrative reg applies to this statute. And again, I think that was incorrect in Cohen, but insofar as the legislature was doing that, then later in 2010, the legislature changed the administrative regulations. They made it so that it no longer applies to passenger cars. It only applies to commercial vehicles. So even insofar as this may have been applicable back when the administrative code dealt with passenger cars, once the legislature passed that new law changing that, it no longer applies. And instead, we're back to exactly what 74 says, which is don't add non-transparent materials to your front windows.
Going back again to whether there's a law enforcement aspect of this, the state here dismissed the case voluntarily because the police officers, I understand it, was able to see through the rear window. If this was a law enforcement concern, It would therefore prohibit tinting of any aspect of the car so that police can see from the rear, from the side, anywhere where the vehicle has windows so they can see inside. But they only limited the tint to the driver's perspective, either side in the front. So why should we read this as being nothing more than a road safety requirement, not a law enforcement tool of investigation?
I think that the plain language of this makes it a safety statute. The plain language makes it a safety statute. And as the data that exists that we have on traffic stops shows, reading it more broadly does run this risk of arbitrary and racially discriminatory enforcement. And instead, by limiting it to the plain language of the statute, narrowing the statute and what it prohibits, officers will be more specifically focused on those cars that truly present a danger, that are truly unsafe on the roads. But a broad reading of this, or the Attorney General's reading of this, makes the statute far too wide-ranging, goes beyond what this language actually prohibits. And
as a general matter, if there's reasonable suspicion of a violation of a traffic statute, we don't ask first, is the traffic statute a safety statute or a law enforcement tool, right? It could be something like changing lanes or not using a direction signal or any of these things that obviously the legislature's worried that if you don't use your direction signal, you might cause an accident. So the inquiry really is was there or was there not reasonable suspicion of a violation of whatever that was?
Yes, Your Honor. However, as this court recognized in Carter, the Motor Vehicle Code is very broad, and if interpreted to kind of the extreme broad version of these words, you can create a code that essentially delegates all discretion on who to stop to.
Right, but my point is that the general, the whole full breadth of traffic violations is out there, and most of them are really safety-oriented without a particular focus on law enforcement. Am I right about that?
Yes, the Motor Vehicle Code generally is supposed to keep drivers on the road safe.
Okay, but if there is reasonable suspicion that there is any of those, I don't know the total number, but hundreds and hundreds of statutes, there's been a violation, that's a proper basis for a stop, just generally.
Yes, this court has repeatedly said that you don't have to, before you stop a car, prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the car is in fact in violation. Reasonable suspicion that the car has violated a motor vehicle statute under the correct interpretation of that statute can justify a stop. So, again, this is how an officer who literally could not see into a car wouldn't know when seeing that car, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the car had a non-transparent material added to the front window. But that would provide reasonable suspicion to justify the stop. Then, in order to prove the violation, they would actually have to establish that the material was, in fact, non-transparent.
What is your definition of non-transparent?
Can be seen through.
Can be seen through not very clearly?
So transparent, the statute doesn't say, windows must be transparent. It says don't add non-transparent materials. And non-transparent means essentially opaque. If you can't see through something, it is non-transparent.
Presumably, very few people want to tint their windows to the point where they can't see out. Unless they have one of these driverless cars out there that are a little frightening. We're dealing here with presumably window tint in many, many cases that makes it more difficult to see out because it's not purely clear, but can be seen. You can see the road, you can see the other cars, but perhaps not as well. So where are we drawing the line here? Because if it's non-transparent in the sense that you can't see out, only people who are truly out to crash into other cars are going to put that kind of tint on their windows.
I think that brings us back to the fact that the statute was written in 1937. It was written in 1937, and the other things in the list of prohibited materials are things that are literally opaque. They are signs, posters, stickers, or other non-transparent materials. If the legislature wanted to regulate window tint, it could do so. 48, I think Vermont is the only state that doesn't have a clear law on this, 48 other states regulate window tint, and they do so in a way that specifies the allowable light transmittance. New Jersey doesn't. New Jersey has relied essentially since Cohen on the statute that is not applicable. It does not reference tint. It does not reference sunscreening material. It does not reference light transmittance. It says non-transparent materials. That's not window tint. And I agree that there very few people are going to literally paint their car's windows black. If they did, that would be a violation of this statute.
But not if they painted their back window and their back side windows black. That would be okay.
Under paragraph two, we're dealing with the windshield, other than the little.
In fact, if you have a driver. And you have a limousine, and you want to create a zone of privacy to the rear passenger seat. This is common, and it's not a violation of any Title 39 law.
Absolutely, and just generally on the road, rear windows are, for the most part, quite dark, and those cars are not violating this statute at all.
This is clearly intended for the driver to be able to operate the car safely.
This is focusing on driving a car whose windows are so blocked that you can't see.
This is a historical question. In 1937, was there even tinting? Do you know?
Can you tell us, Justice Albans?
Yes.
You might know better than me.
I would have made a declaratory statement if I could.
From what I've been able to tell, window tint, as we understand it now, didn't really exist until somewhere between the 1960s and the 1980s. They were able to, you know, literally paint windows, but the kind of plastic aftermarket spray tinting didn't exist until decades after this statute. And this is the other, I think the Seton Hall brief goes into this a little bit with respect to the safety glass, you used to run into a problem, I think, where kind of the inner bit of the window in the glass itself could get so discolored. But again, we don't have that problem anymore because we've thankfully moved past 1937 car technology.
Are you familiar with NJAC 13:20-32.7? Cohen references 33.7. Are you familiar with 32.7? The title is Glazing Requirements, All Motor Vehicles, not just commercial.
I do not have it in my binder, but I believe I read it in preparation for this case, but I don't have it in front of me.
Does it apply tinting requirements and limits to non-commercial vehicles, as you understand it?
I do not believe so. Is my understanding of, I think that provision is still dealing with inspections, but I'm not certain. I apologize. I can look it up and submit an additional letter to the court.
If you're able to take a peek at it while your colleagues across the aisle are speaking and see if you can come back on rebuttal.
Yes.
It does reference motor vehicles, at least in Section G, and tinting on rear windows. And I wondered I wondered how that might bear on this. It's got a lot of parallels to 33.7, but it's not the same exactly.
Okay, and it was 32.7.
13:20-32.7.
Okay. I will look that up and hopefully have an answer on rebuttal.
All right, thank you.
I would also, look that up.
Move beyond it for now.
Okay. I'm happy if the legislature wanted to regulate tinting, they could have done so, and they haven't. They've relied on this 1937 statute whose language is clear and unambiguous, and added tint that remains, that is not non-transparent, added tint that you can still see through, is not a violation. And I would, I can, if the courts like, I can move past the statutory interpretation part to really emphasizing the critical importance of burdens of proof at suppression hearings. Because the Motor Vehicle Code is so broad, because reasonable suspicion is a relatively low standard, considering it is critically important to hold the state to its burden of proof at a suppression hearing. And this burden of proof cannot be satisfied with magic words, can't be satisfied by simply saying the car had tinted windows. That's what happened here, and the state, when it got to this court, conceded that that was an illegal stop because the conduct was lawful. But even if this court adopts the state's interpretation, which it shouldn't, but it's not, it doesn't satisfy the burden of proof any better for an officer to say the car had added tint to the front windows. That's a conclusory statement that doesn't give the reviewing court enough facts to do its job. The officer would have to be able to explain the difference between a lawful window and an illegally tinted window. The officer would have to describe facts of, I couldn't see into the car. It was so dark that I couldn't see. I assumed someone was driving because the car was moving, but I actually couldn't see them. Provide facts for the court to review. Take a picture of the defendant's car and compare it to what an untinted window looks
like. So is your argument that the only way the state could satisfy the reasonable suspicion of a stop based on tinted front windows would be for the officer to make a representation that they could not see inside the car at all?
Under what I think the plain language of 74 is, yes. But even under the state's interpretation, if this court adopts the Attorney General's position and says any tint that's added to the front windows at all is somehow a violation of the statute, again, I don't think that's what the statute says, but if the court adopted that interpretation, it would not satisfy the state's burden to justify the warrantless stop if the officer simply showed up in court and said there was added tint on the front windows.
No, but the, I'm sorry, Chief, go ahead, please. But the question's a little bit more nuanced than that, isn't it? It's not an either or. Either you see nothing or you see everything. There could be, if the state's interpretation of 74 were accepted, the officer could say, I could see there were people there, I could see motion, but the tinting made that less than clear. Why would that not meet the burden under their interpretation of the statute?
I think under the state's interpretation, it's a fairly strict no added tint whatsoever. But either way, whether we're talking about gradations of tint or no added tint, the officer would have to provide facts that let the court do its job.
I understand that, yeah. But it seemed like the burden you were putting on the officer was to say, which to me would mean people are out there driving and unable to see the road, if this is true, I could not see anybody. And that just doesn't seem to be a burden that would make sense in order in light of the statute.
Assuming this court adopts some version of non-transparent, that means if non-transparent means something less than opaque, then yes, then an officer would, as other state courts recognize, to satisfy that burden of proof would provide facts like, it was so dark that I could only see a silhouette. It was so dark that I couldn't see who was driving. I could barely see movement in the car.
So what if an officer takes the stand and testifies, I could see a driver, but I couldn't make out any features at all? Has the standard been met by that testimony?
Under the plain language of 74 that I'm asking this court to recognize, no, that's not a violation. Because if the officer can see in, that's not a non-transparent material on the window.
So they don't have to be able to see in a meaningful way.
Under what 74 is really saying, it's talking about signs, posters, stickers, or non-transparent materials.
What's the definition of transparent?
Can be seen through, and the definition of non-transparent is opaque.
Okay, so the impairment of visibility, impairing one's ability to look through the window, would that be non-transparent?
No, because, so if transparent means essentially crystal clear, nothing at all affecting the light transmittance, that it does not necessarily follow that something that has 70% of the light transmittance is non-transparent. We accept that 70% is totally fine. That's sufficient for safety, that's sufficient for our purposes, for driving. The question is, and I think that non-transparent means that when you can no longer see into it, that has stopped being transparent.
Why would anybody have, under that very strict definition of transparent, why would anyone possibly put tint on their windows that it didn't allow them to see outside the car?
I don't think the statute really regulates tint as we understand it. It references posters. Maybe someone put a poster on the outside of their car to advertise something. If they did that on the driver's side front window, that would be a violation.
But the statute specifically speaks to material as well.
It does, but other non-transparent material should be read in conjunction with the other things that are explicitly mentioned in this statute.
Why is that? Because the legislature and regulators all the time provide examples and then catch-alls. And you don't necessarily infer that every single item is the same as the first item mentioned. That's not a statutory construction principle, is it?
No, they have to be read in context. But again, non-transparent, this doesn't look like other window tinting statutes. This doesn't say how much light must be able to pass through. It doesn't say which is how every other statute that regulates tint in all these other states does it. This doesn't say don't put sunscreening materials on your front windows. It doesn't say don't add aftermarket tint that blocks more than 60% of the light.
You're also looking at the other words in the list. Sign, that's going to totally block the window. Poster, block it. Sticker, block it. And then it says, or other non-transparent. Are you looking at the sequence of the list to get to where you want to be?
Yes, insofar as it says other non-transparent materials, it's referencing those things it specifically listed and saying other things like those, other things that, like a poster, is non-transparent. You also can't put that on your windows.
Aren't you adding the word similar as you read that series of words?
Right there, I literally did say, I did say similar, but lists have to be read in context. If you're listing apples, oranges, blueberries, and other foods, I'm not sure it would necessarily be reasonable to say that fish falls under that list.
Because a fish is not a food.
Because it's not a fruit, it's not a produce, it's something completely different. It might,
the legislature does all kinds of different things, right? They make lists of items that are different from one another, are similar to each other. You really can't. I mean, when they list certain enumerated things, for lack of a better word, and then have another description, you have to look at that and see what that means itself, don't you?
Yes, and again, non-transparent in ordinary parlance, look it up, it means opaque. It means cannot be seen through. That is the ordinary definition of non-transparent. And the plain language controls. The plain language is what's supposed to give people, what gives everyone notice as to what conduct is prohibited.
And going back to your argument that this statute was enacted decades ago before window tinting, as we know it today, was in existence. I guess your argument is it's difficult to make the case that the legislature's intent was to target window tinting in conjunction with the rest of the items in this list because that did not exist. So your assumption or argument is that they must have been referencing other things similar to posters, stickers, or signs.
Yes, they surely did not intend to ban something that hadn't been invented yet. They intended.
So if you're right about 74, what statute or regulation regulates tinting of non-commercial vehicles?
I think the medical tint statute provides an option for people to apply for a permit, but.
But that's on one side.
Nothing prohibits tinting car windows, the front windows, in a way that, so long as the material is not non-transparent.
But that goes back to 74, right?
Yes.
Getting that from there. So if you're saying 74 has nothing to do with tint.
Right. You've read out the non-transparent language of 74 as applied to tinting, if I understood your argument correctly.
Yes. I mean, so, insofar as tinting is literally, is
so
actually
nothing. Opaque. So nothing regulates tinting.
No.
Of regular passenger automobiles.
Not under the Motor Vehicle Code as it's currently written.
And nothing in federal regulations? I was looking at those as well. It seems to be some confusion as whether or not it applies to buses and trucks and not to cars.
So federal regulations don't regulate aftermarket tinting. The federal government leaves that up to the states to regulate as they see fit. The federal government regulates manufacturing standards for glass in that it, you know, can't shatter unsafely, and it must allow at least 70% light transmittance when the car comes out of the factory.
Just with regard to 74, it does not say, imply that somehow these signs or whatever is on the windshield needs to cover the entire windshield, correct?
Correct.
In other words, they're talking about obstructions to vision. It may obstruct a portion of the side window, a portion of the front window, doesn't have to cover the entire window. Yes?
Correct.
Okay, so you're not talking about opaque with respect to seeing through the window or windshield anywhere, anytime.
I agree, but it's regulating the materials that can be added to the windows.
It's not describing the materials. It's not saying paper, aluminum. It's talking about the kinds of objects, not the kinds of materials. And what I'm getting at is it's an obstruction of some sort to vision through the front or side windows, windshield or side windows. So isn't the standard really whether there is an obstruction to vision rather than a sign or something covering the window or windshield, making it impossible to see through? Because ostensibly you can see through the windshield. It's just providing obstructions to certain portions.
I do think that as a whole, Section 74 is concerned with the driver's ability to see.
And to the extent that you can see through, it's not completely opaque, but your vision is in some way distorted or obstructed. How does that Section 74 not cover that situation? Which comes back to, I guess, when you say if the officer could not see in at all, at least there's a reasonable suspicion that maybe the driver can't see out too well either.
Yes. Again, I think.
Maybe it'll see out, but not really well.
So I think where you can maybe get some wiggle room on this is in the third paragraph, but I also think that once we get there, without it being really narrowly construed, it's running right into the impermissible vagueness problem. What does unduly interfere with the driver's vision mean? Unless that's narrowly construed to really be focused on the ability to see clearly, windows that are so dark that they essentially make the seeing out very, very difficult.
Isn't your position that that doesn't matter? Because if you can see out at all, even if it's distorted and makes driving unsafe, doesn't matter, the statute doesn't cover it. Isn't that your argument?
So I think paragraph three essentially covers a situation in which you've either equipped or loaded your car in a way to make it so that it's very, very difficult. It's unsafe. It's, you really can't safely see to the front and the side when you're driving. And whether that's through materials you
added.
Why
not stick with the statutory language, unduly interfere?
Unduly interfere. So if you've loaded your car so full of boxes that you can't see out the front passenger window, that might be unduly interfered. If you've tinted the front passenger window so, so darkly that your vision has been unduly interfered with, that could be a violation of.
Forget about the driver's vision. The tint is not affecting the driver's vision, but is completely obscuring anyone else's ability to look inside, including a police officer. Is that not a violation of paragraph two?
If the not being able to see in creates a reasonable suspicion that it's a non-transparent material, then that would be a violation.
Okay, fine. Regardless of whether or not the driver can see clearly through.
Yes. Paragraph two is dealing with material, with specific materials or other non-transparent.
That obstructs vision either way, going in or going out. Do you agree?
I think paragraph two as to what constitutes a violation is focused on the thing you have added to your car's windows. I think to get reasonable suspicion of that violation, practically speaking, the way you get there is by saying, I really can't see inside this car. I suspect they've added non-transparent material to the windows.
Mr. McLean, I'm sorry, we've gone quite long on the argument. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
We'll come back for rebuttal. No, I'll reserve for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. Thompson.
Good afternoon, and may it please the court. The ACLU of New Jersey does join the Office of the Public Defender in asking this court to find that the use of transparent tint on all car windows in New Jersey is legal. And we also ask that you hold that allowing police to make stops based on tinted windows without more undermines some of the constitutional safeguards that protect New Jerseyans from unreasonable searches and seizures. And Ms. McLean has covered so much of this, so I just want to touch on three more issues.
Before you go on to your three issues, what is transparent tint?
I agree that transparent tint is a tint that you can see through, that is allows for clear vision. And one of the issues that I think we have here is that we need to create some sort of objective way to measure what that means. And in the other 48 states that have an explicit statute with regard to tinting on front windows, officers are provided with light meters. They're provided with shade cards, which have the various levels of opacity that they can hold up and compare to the window tint, so that way we can meet to clearly define levels. And also, with regard to the federal regulations, which do allow for this 30% of tinting, the federal regs have declared that it's safe, and New Jersey has integrated those regulations into their own motor vehicle requirements.
Your colleague has told us is that that's not aftermarket. That's manufacturer requirements.
Right, but I think it does serve as a great baseline to know what is safe and what percentage of tinting does allow for regular use.
Are you saying that we should apply 74 to passenger vehicles, but interpret it to mean 70%? That it's not non-transparent, excuse the double negative, it's not non-transparent if it allows for 70% of the light from the outside to go into the car. Is that what you'd like us to do?
I think that's right. I think that would be a very clear way to proceed. And I think that we know that it's safe. That's why they have that's why the regulation is what it is.
Where do we see, whether that's good policy or not good policy, obviously that's not our call. They're on State Street, we're on Market Street. Where do we see the legislative intent to do what you just suggested?
I think we don't have that because, as Mr. McLean pointed out, I don't know that the legislature necessarily knows the exact number, right? But I do think that the medical exemption does help us with that interpretation, because when you do get the certificate allowing you to tint windows for medical reasons, the language in 1320.1.2 says that the tint should be installed in conjunction with the factory installed glazing to make it to 70%, and on the side windows to make it to 60% in addition to that factory installed glazing. So that glazing is what is set by the regulation, the federal regulation, and to tie the ideal number, I realize this is the code, but to tie that ideal number to the regs as it states in this particular code section, it goes to show, I think, the intent of what is the optimal percentage of tint.
I know that you want to present 3 points. I'd like to ask one question first, if I could. You're not arguing that the phrase in Section 74, non-transparent material, does not include tint, are you?
I'm not, no. I'm sorry, maybe I'm not understanding. Are you saying
I hear your argument. Your reading of the phrase transparent material refers to not simply signs, posters, and stickers, but tinted windows as well. Is that fair?
I believe it does, and I am not, I don't think that Cohen is correct on all things, but I think that using 374 as the operating statute for determining questions of tint, I think that is correct. And to that end, I do think tint does refer to transparent material within the context of material on the front windows.
Please go ahead with the points you wanted to start with.
So that the question of opacity and using the light meters and needing that objective number was one of the points. But the second point is just to point out some of the issues around Cohen and the fact that it associates all aftermarket applications of tint with an overall ban of window tinting. And as an example of why that doesn't quite work, if you bought a car and went to the dealer and purchased a car, and perhaps it was a used car, but that car does not have the federally regulated tinting, that is the tinting that the manufacturer puts into all car windshields, if you decided that you wanted to bring it up to the federal standard, if you wanted to make that zero tint window 30%, that would be illegal under the current standard. And that seems to put any tinting in conflict with the federal standards and the federal regulations, again, that have been defined as safe. And when police officers are trying to make their determinations on a stop, there's no way that they're going to be able to make the distinction between an aftermarket stop and a pre-market stop based on just looking at the car. So that sort of unknowability means that there's no reasonable suspicion that can actually be articulated. And I just want to briefly speak to the questions about how this impacts drivers of color.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
Are you suggesting that a police officer could not stop a car that had tinting so dark that the officer could not look in from the outside?
No, that would be a reasonable stop because, as Ms. McLean noted, if it's opaque, if you can't see in, that implicates the question of the driver vision, right? But the case that Cohen actually overruled, RM, I think is helpful here because the language that it says is absent testimony that the officer stopping the motor vehicle reasonably believed there was a violation of statute and not merely an observation of tinted material on the motor vehicle. would make it serve merely as a pretext for the officer to stop all motor vehicles so outfitted. And so the question here, the thing that we need to really look to is whether there's something that is articulable about the use, right? And being able to say, I cannot see into the car is an articulable basis. But if the officer can see into the car, if the driver can see out of the car, even with tint, then there is no there. So
exactly? The officer can see there's somebody in the car. They can see the driver's there, passengers there, but it is obscuring the clarity of the officer's view. Is that reasonable suspicion or is it not? And in your interpretation, so
I think that there has to be more. Like it's not enough to say I can see you, but I can't see you enough. I don't think any law guarantees to officers that they just can see all things in the car, right? There has to be a real violation that allows them that sort of access, and mere observation of tinted material that justifies a subjective decision of the officer to stop the car. And there needs to be something that's not just subjective. There needs to be some sort of objective reason, and not being able to see into the car is one of them. Being able to see, but maybe not, you know, with full clear glass, it cannot.
Well, your 70-30 suggestion, as what you're suggesting we interpret it as, would seem to me to be, you can see in, but if you're at 31 and 69 instead of 70 and 30, a violation of the standard that you would suggest that the court impose, you can see in, but you can't see in as well as you could with transparent glass. Wouldn't that be what you'd expect if that were the measurement?
I want to be clear that I think that's one place in the baseline, and it's one that was set by the regulations. But other states, Michigan, for example, has no baseline at all. You can have any amount of tinting that you would like in Michigan on any windows, whereas New York, it's that 70%.
And obviously, I think these are legislatures making policy determinations based presumably on traffic safety. So it's these are different options the states have, but.
But the broadness would say, I think that there has to be, we can't have something so broad. We can't say, or what is currently in effect, that this non-transparency with no further explanation with regard to tint is so broad that there's no way to even monitor it unless there are the facts, like in Cohen, where the officer literally could not see into the car and the driver themselves said, okay, this is illegal. There has to be some gradation here about how we define tint and how we can think about non-transparency and transparency of different shades so that we don't impede driver vision, so that we're not implicating public safety concerns, and that we can't use this statute to stop people arbitrarily.
Counsel, in that respect, the focus of the statute is on the ability of the driver to operate the vehicle safely. Why, if that's the basis of the statute, why should our analysis be based on what a police officer could observe from the outside of the car, as opposed to what a reasonable driver could see from inside the car? So in other words, in order for this, for a motor vehicle violation to be reasonable under this Title 39 statute, the police officer has to have articulable suspicion, not that he or she could not see in, but that the driver could not adequately see out to operate the vehicle safely. Because I don't see anything in the statute that refers to the perspective of a police officer. Is the perspective of the driver. Would you agree with that?
I do, and I think that the point of these statutes is to protect the driver. It's not, as you said earlier,
and motorists. Just the driver, but motorists.
Exactly, and other motorists who the driver needs to see. And so obviously there are concerns. Obviously police officers don't want to know if, say, someone is pointing a gun at them. That is important, but that is not the basis for a stop.
So does the police officer have to ask the driver to step out and get into the car and see how it looks from the inside?
Well, ideally, we would have some sort of mechanism that would allow an objective read on what the tinting was. If you can't see into the car, I think non-transparent covers that. So, yes, that's a proper stop. You could ask the driver to step out.
Does it in fact cover it? Can't see inside provide an objective measure that means the same thing to reasonable police officers across the line?
Yes, I would say that is a reasonable articulable suspicion if you cannot see inside the car at all.
Right, but what I'm suggesting is your 70-30 suggestion is an easily measured, is a metric that can be objectively measured. But is it unreasonable for an officer to say, I could see inside the car, but I couldn't make out anything. I can't describe the person in any way, shape, or form other than to tell you there was a person in the front seat. Does that or does that not meet a standard of could see through?
I don't think, it meets the standard of seeing through. I think that does meet a transparency, legal transparency level. I don't believe that police officers have any right to see anything more in your car unless they have an articulable suspicion.
I wanted the state to speak first to the statute they highlighted in their submission on Friday afternoon. Would you care to comment on 56:8-117 and any bearing it might have on this case?
Yes, I think that as noted earlier in my example, if I wanted to get my car to that 30% federal standard, I would go to this, I would go to a company that's covered by this section and have them install those materials. I think what the statute is trying to compensate for here is to go from that allowable amount of tint to that place where it is non-transparent, to that place where it's opaque. And so that's where the add-on tinting, if it is added onto the point of obstruction, that is the way to keep a curb on that behavior.
But 117,
and to keep it.
Look at the plain language of 117. Does it go beyond that? It says the sign must articulate that New Jersey state law prohibits add-on tinting.
And I think the add-on tinting here, that aftermarket question is the question that matters, because 30% tint is, we have incorporated that into our motor vehicle regulations. So you might have, you buy the car, you already have that 30% tint in the windshield. This is saying you cannot add more, that is too much. We don't know what that's going to turn the car into and if it's going to then make the car violate 374.
Do all cars from manufacturers have the 3070? I thought that was just a federal regulation imposing a limit.
But the regulation is from for the manufacturers. And I know, in prepping for this, I checked my car, I checked a bunch of cars, and they all say in that little stamp that they have that 70-30 breakdown. So I do think that has become the norm. I do think that tinting is what manufacturers now incorporate, because it is a question of safety as well. If you can't see because of glare, if there's undue UV rays coming through, this is one of the ways to keep people safe. This is a question of public safety as well.
Anything else?
So briefly can speak about some of the racial questions. The state did note in its brief that these tinted window violations only account for 3% of stops. But the fact is that while speeding and various unsafe driving regulations constitute 80% of stops, these tinted window stops make up 15% of the remaining stops. And of those stops, Black and Latino drivers are stopped over 80% more than white drivers under these tinted window stops. And the fact is, because we know it is wrong and people get it wrong. We are here today because of the facts of Smith, where an officer got it wrong. And there are going to be many other instances where that happens. And as this court has noted, those instances of stops where there was no need and the driver was innocent, those things hurt both the driver and the communities that they come from. And so we should not be in the business of using these stops to amp up criminal investigations without a basis and using them pretextually.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson.
Thank you.
Mr. Cooper Dobb.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Pardon me. May it please the court. I do just want to make, as a preliminary point, just emphasize again, of course, this case is moot as to this particular defendant. On the state's motion, his conviction was vacated, his charges were dismissed. So there's no ruling here that could affect this particular defendant. My colleague started off by listing a number of the ways in which we agree on issues surrounding this, and I think that was a good way to start, and I'll go through some of those again, because we do agree that rear window tint of virtually any level is allowed under state law, that the state laws and regulations we're talking about concern only aftermarket tint, do not affect manufacturer tint, which is regulated by federal regulations. One thing I do just want to make very clear, the state is not conceding that the stop here was unlawful or illegal. The state is conceding that it did not bear its burden of proof at the suppression hearing of establishing reasonable suspicion of a window tint stop. I know that's a fine distinction, but I do just want to make it clear. Frankly, we don't know from the record whether there was tint on Mr. Smith's front windows. It's irrelevant to the case at this point. What we know is that the testimony that was elicited did not reach the threshold for proving reasonable suspicion of a tint stop in this case. And that revolves entirely around this principle, simply that rear tint is not regulated. Moving on to the substance of the arguments we're hearing today, we've heard a number of different interpretations of how we should consider aftermarket tint. The state is making a proposal that under the laws and regulations we have, from the various clues we have from the legislature and the and in Cohen, and in terms of information disseminated among the public for quite a long time, that no aftermarket tinting is allowed on front windshields or windows under state law, and that virtually any level of aftermarket tinting is allowed on rear windows or windshields. And a great advantage of that is that it's very clear, it's easy for everyone to apply, and this has also been a test that's been basically widely accepted for a while and known to the public. So, sort of two questions we might look at is, why is this the right interpretation? And then also, why, it's a little different, why is this a desirable interpretation? So we know this is the right interpretation for several reasons. First, looking back at Cohen, Cohen was saying, we're going to use this administrative code provision created by the MVC as essentially an expert interpretation of this law, and we'll accept that as a convincing metric of when tint is lawful under NJSA 39:3-74 and when it's not. And just to be very clear, under Cohen's analysis, that statute, 39.374, that remains the operative law we're talking about. Cohen was not saying if you violate these inspection standards, that justifies a stop. Cohen was saying we're going to port over these standards, which represents the MVC analysis of this, and use that as a metric for assessing the lawfulness under the legislature's motor vehicle code. Next, as we talked about a little bit just now, just a year after Cohen, the legislature passed this amendment to the Consumer Fraud Act, really making crystal clear its intent and its understanding of how window tint is regulated, requiring installers and sellers of tint to refrain from installing any aftermarket tint on front windows and front windshields of New Jersey registered cars, and to notify customers that installing aftermarket tint on front windshields or windows of New Jersey registered cars violates New Jersey law and regulations, and even requiring them to post that sign telling them so in very simple language. This understanding is also confirmed and bolstered by the legislature's passage of the medical exemption scheme, which we've talked about a little bit, the legislature in 1999 passed these statutes at NJSA 39:375.1 and I think 0.2 and 0.3, saying if you have a photosensitive medical condition, you should be able to apply to the MVC to get a medical exemption, and then you can install some tint on your car, and directing the MVC director to pass regulations, which the director did, and those are Administrative Code 13:20-1.1 through, I think, 2.7, which all in those reside in those first two sections there. And what's telling about that, first, there's no mention of rear window tint at all anywhere there. So the assumption of everyone is rear window tint's allowed whether you have medical exemption or not. But then the legislature directed the MVC director to set standards for what window tint could be allowed, and as pointed out, specifically cited officer safety during traffic stops as one reason for needing these standards. And the MVC director created a rule limiting the tint that can be placed there, that, saying that front windshields must maintain visible light transmittance of 70%, and that front side windows must maintain levels of 60%, which those are fairly light, relatively light levels of tinting, given that manufacturers can install down to 70% under the federal regulations. So it would sort of defy logic to say, well, anybody can install very dark tint, but if you have a photosensitive medical condition, you have to apply for special permission to install only light tint. And then the last thing.
Let me ask you about your reliance on the Consumer Fraud Act statute. It's an unusual, obviously in all kinds of contexts, we're trying to interpret what the legislature meant. It's unusual, and I don't think I've dealt with before, saying that an essentially unrelated statute, something that, obviously is in the different part of the statutes, that says put a sign out here saying X, is evidence that that's what the legislature meant when it did Y, which in this case is the Title 39 aspect of this. See what I mean? The legislature could say put a sign out that says New Jersey law requires X or do this and that, but it could be just dead wrong as to New Jersey law. If in fact that were not the law, would the legislature saying put a sign out saying it is the law be evidence of legislative intent?
I understand.
See what I'm saying? If they're wrong about
what
it.
Your Honor's saying, yes. Yeah. And certainly we're not saying that that law was somehow reflective of the legislature's original intent back in 1937. As we've discussed, tint as it exists now did not really exist in the 1930s, is my understanding.
So what is the evidence of? Because what we have a very focused inquiry here, and that is whether an officer would have, under what circumstances does an officer have reasonable suspicion of a violation of the Title 39 provision. I think everybody agrees we're in Section 74.
Yes.
And so is evidence that the legislature, when it amended the CFA, thought that New Jersey law said X, evidence of anything else of what Section 74 means?
Well, Your Honor, I think it's evidence of how the legislature understands the law to apply to this new situation. And this is a challenge that comes up occasionally. And there are a couple of cases from this court talking about what we do in that situation when a law is passed and then years down the road, there's a new situation that arguably falls under that, but clearly can't have been part of the legislature's sort of originalistic intent at that time. So I'm looking at the opinion from this court in AMN Inc. of New Jersey versus South Brunswick Township Rent Leveling Board, which is 93 NJ 518. And it talks about how in cases like this, that the policy of interpreting the statute consonant with probable intent of the draftsman had he anticipated the situation at hand, and further specifies that interpretations in such a circumstance should not turn on literalisms, technisms, or so-called rules of interpretation.
Right, but you're still looking at the statutory language.
Still looking at the statutory language.
The original statute. What you're suggesting we do here, and it's interesting, and it but it's certainly not something I've run into before, is say, in this other statute, they said this is the law of New Jersey. And who's saying that? Is that the legislature saying that's how they interpreted Title 39? Or what do we make of that?
And perhaps, I guess this is speculation to some extent, but one maybe telling part of that is the text of that statute said not just that it's prohibited under New Jersey law, but also under New Jersey regulation, and that they were passing this just after, a year after Cohen had said, we're going to use this regulation as the benchmark for compliance with 74. So
it may have been Cohen they're referring to there.
Yes,
right?
Your Honor.
But 56.8.117 is targeting the retailer. Doesn't say anything about whether or not a person could tint his own car.
It specifically bars the retailer from installing. It does require installers to tell customers not simply, I cannot install tint on your car, but to tell them aftermarket tint on front windshields and windows is prohibited under New Jersey law and regulation.
So when it says it's prohibited, they're apparently referring to some other law. What other law would that be?
Well, Your Honor, I think they're referring to 74 and to its manner of interpretation by the MBC and the adoption of that as a metric by Cohen.
Maybe they're simply referring to Cohen.
That's so time. What's the language? Tell me the language in Cohen that you're relying on.
The specific language is where, now Cohen has gone through looking at these two law division cases, one of which said we don't think 74 reaches tint, the other of which said we do think 74 and the administrative code reaches tint. Yes. And Cohen said specifically, we use this opportunity.
Tell me the page in
I'm sorry.
You're relying on.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. That's on page, this is on page 380.
380, okay.
380, probably around the middle of the page. And basically all they said is we use this opportunity to expressly adopt Judge Steinberg's opinion in Oberlton insofar as it holds that NJSA 39:3-74 prohibits the use of tinted windows which fail to meet the applicable standard now set forth in NJAC 13:20-33.7.
Okay. And what at that time, what did 33.7 say?
I believe it read the same as it does now, which there are a few things touching on tint, but the specific portion is paragraph D, pardon me, which says, a motor vehicle other than a police vehicle or a motor vehicle for which a medical exemption certificate has been issued by the Motor Vehicle Commission shall not be certified which has tinted spray or plastic material added to previously approved glazing in the front windshield or windows, vents, wings.
A little louder. Can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Windows, vents, wings, deflectors, or side shields to the immediate right or left of the driver because, and now it's echoing 74, such condition changes the vision and light transmission properties of the glazing in areas where driver visibility shall not be obscured or obstructed.
Do you think Cohen went over the line of deference to the legislature with regard to policy? Do you see what I'm asking? Is there's a lot of interpretive activity going on in Cohen that is similar to what a legislature does, and what the executive branch does in regulations, which is to really pare down and regulate an area of traffic expertise. That is really unusual in a judicial opinion. Would you agree with me on that?
Well, I don't think so, Your Honor, because I think that Cohen wasn't so much expressing his own expertise as relying on the expertise of the Motor Vehicle Commission and the Motor Vehicle Director, as the legislature often does, in asking the MVC to create regulations following the statutes.
The court did get into quite a bit of the weeds with respect to what constitutes unsafe tinting.
Well, I think they were looking at this administrative code provision as interpreting a reasonable and convincing, and maybe above all, clear and easy to apply interpretation of the statute and how the statute should be applied to aftermarket window tints.
What's your understanding of the meaning of Section 74, in particular its use of the phrase non-transparent material that we focused on, and the language in the third paragraph as well about undue interference with the driver's vision?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that, as we already kind of talked about, the legislature can't really have been an originalistic way considering window tint. I think those paragraphs should be read in conjunction. That the second paragraph gives us an idea of, in general, what they're talking about. They're talking about, I mean, among other things like windshield wipers and things like that, they're also talking about things that are applied to a windshield, things that are stuck onto a windshield or onto front windows. And then that paragraph three functions as sort of a catch-all for future situations not anticipated to say, and you can't install or equip, load a car so as to unduly interfere with the driver's vision. So they function together, and then as they get interpreted today, to apply it to tint.
And how about Ms. McLean's point that the last paragraph refers only to the driver's vision?
Well, it's certainly clear that the legislature's concern in passing that law was about maintaining safety on the roads by ensuring that drivers could see where they're driving their car. We certainly know from the legislature's more recent mentions of officer safety and passing the medical exemption scheme that is also a concern that impacts, that the legislature is worried about. I guess I'll touch just briefly on the second point of why this is desirable. First, this is a safety issue. Anything that reduces a driver's visibility forward or to the sides can increase risks of accidents, risk of harm to that driver, to drivers or pedestrians around them. I think that my colleague had made a statement something like tint doesn't interfere with the driver's vision out of the car, and I think that's simply wrong. There are certainly studies out there, which I'm sorry I did not cite to in my brief, but certainly studies looking at the effects of what effects tint will have on drivers' ability to view objects as they're driving. And of course, we're talking not just about a young driver with perfect vision on a clear sunny day. This also really can start to impact drivers as they age and their vision degrades, drivers who require corrective lenses, and of course can have an even greater impact if it's rainy or foggy or dark out. That certainly there are times when you want as much vision as possible to maintain your own safety and your safety of others.
What is the standard that this court should articulate that would be the basis for a police officer to have reasonable and articulable suspicion to stop a car?
Your Honor, the state, of course, agrees with the defense that the officer has to be able to articulate and explain why there's reasonable suspicion of a violation. Yes, it's not enough for an officer to come into a suppression hearing and just say,
How about the language in Cohen?
I'm sorry?
How about the language? You've relied on Cohen. How about the language in Cohen?
I don't think that there has to be a formulaic, an officer must use these magic words in order to show reasonable
suspicion. I'm not talking formulaic, but you're relying on Cohen, and I'm now referring you back to the pages that you referred us to. On page 380, here are the officer's reasonable suspicion based on his initial observation that the windows were so darkly tinted as to obstruct vision was confirmed after he stopped the vehicle. Okay. And it had been darkened by an aftermarket product. And that was on page 380. And on 381, we are also satisfied that the officer's belief that the darkly tinted windows represented a significant obstruction. That's the language there sort of indicating that the darkness of the tint was obstructing vision inside, and that was the reasonable basis to stop. Should that be a standard that should govern these types of stops?
Well, Your Honor, Cohen was certainly saying that the officer's testimony in that case established reasonable suspicion. That does not have to be the only way of establishing reasonable suspicion, but an officer does have to be able to explain, of course, what did the officer see that made her or him believe that There was aftermarket intent installed in the front windows. Did the officer have training about that? Did the officer have experience with prior stops for tinted windows, or have aids or other materials in order to enable them to decide whether they're tinted, aftermarket tinted windows? Did the officer see perhaps wrinkling in the tinting that tipped her off to the fact that there was aftermarket tinting? So certainly an officer has to be able to articulate some reason why she believed there was aftermarket tinting, but it does not always have to be exactly the language used by the officer.
You're relying on the Consumer Fraud Act amendment to say any tinting added is reasonable suspicion. If you observe what you believe is aftermarket tinting based on the Consumer Fraud Act amendment, then that's a violation and the stop is valid. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Your Honor, we're relying on the Consumer Fraud Act amendment as one of several things that tell us how the legislature understands this law to operate today. Certainly there's different questions of what violates the statute and what creates reasonable suspicion. So under this, under the statute, any level of aftermarket tinting is proscribed. Simply pragmatically, if there's very light tinting on, it could be difficult for an officer to show reasonable suspicion unless they can say, well, I could see that it was wrinkling, it was peeling off, it was discolored.
It all goes to the fact that he can tell there's aftermarket tinting. It doesn't talk about the degree of tinting. In other words, what you seem to be saying is, and I'm not taking a position on this, I'm just asking, you seem to be saying that if there is any aftermarket tinting, you've got the violation. Then the question is, and you have reasonable suspicion, then the question is, has he articulated enough facts to establish that it was somehow affecting his vision and safety and et cetera?
Well, Your Honor, the facts, it as aftermarket tinting of any kind would be on the front or front sides would be a violation. The articulable facts only have to go to why the officer believed there is tinting there. The okay. Officer does not have to necessarily separately conclude, independently conclude that that particular tinting presented a safety violation.
We're looking for an objective standard. We don't want police officers to be able to testify, I could tell that there must have been a little bit more tinting. That's why I think the Cohen Court, which wasn't even using the reasonable articulable standard, they were using community caretaking as the basis for the stop, was referring to it, this dark tinting, suggesting it was difficult for the officers to look inside, because that would seem to be an objective standard. No?
Well, I think one problem with trying to base it off the darkness of the tinting, all these proposed tests about whether an officer can see in or whether they can't, I mean, certainly the state's position would be, first, if an officer can't, if anybody out standing outside can't see into the car at all, that's meaning that the driver's...
Not at all.
Well,
but
I'm taking...
As to obstruct vision. I'm using the language of Cohen.
I think that, okay, well, the second sort of point of that was to be that this is not really, it may sound objective in reading it, but it doesn't really provide a particularly clear objective standard. The problem being that different tinting will look different depending on the circumstances, depending on how bright it is out, depending on the angle of the light, the angle of the viewer, the amount of light inside the car, perhaps even the color of the interior. There are all these different factors that could mean that a car in one circumstance you would be able to see into, and okay. Later in a different circumstance,
so
you would not.
You're the deputy attorney general. Okay, you give advice to the state police and all the police departments in the state. How are you going to advise a police officer when he has or she has reasonable and articulable suspicion to stop a car because it has aftermarket tinting? What advice are you going to give?
Well, it would be, again, we're looking at different things that could clue an officer into the fact that there's aftermarket tinting. So certainly it appearing darker than normal is going to be a good clue that there's aftermarket tinting there. We know that under federal regulations that manufacturers are not allowed to make windows any darker.
Darker than normal? That's imagine this for a moment. I don't want you to go on a length. We're the class. You're advising us so that we can go out on the road and enforce this law. Okay, what's the advice you're giving us?
Well, certainly to be looking for windows that are darker than what standard, what normal untinted windows look like. They could perhaps have illustrative aids, examples of windows that have tinting and those that don't. Also, to, of course, to be looking for wrinkles or peeling or other signs like that, bubbling, that may clue in an officer to there being tinting present. I do just want to conclude, I think, by saying that the great advantage of the interpretation that exists, that is repeated all over online for the public to read, and which is being enforced and which Cohen upheld, is that it's so clear and easy for everybody to apply, that simply saying you can't apply tint if it's non-transparent, if it's maybe opaque, if it's unduly interfering, if it's very dark, or even if it means you can't see in, is still actually a subjective standard for what is lawful and what is not, because it will depend on the circumstances, on the viewer, on all sorts of different conditions. And that the great advantage of the test that we're advocating for is that it's so clear-cut. It's very easy for everyone to apply. Anybody can go online and say, I want to install tint on my front windows. Oh, well, I'm in New Jersey. I can't add any tint to my front windows, but I can add it to my back windows, and that's great to know. So it's easy for drivers to apply, for judges to apply, and for officers to apply in determining what's lawful.
Other questions?
I just have one last one. I just want to clear this up in my head. So we've looked at the Consumer Fraud Act. Okay. So let's say it's violative. What motor vehicle statute permits a police officer to stop, looking at 37-4, based upon the aftermarket tinting?
I apologize, Your Honor. Could you repeat your question?
What motor vehicle law, not referring to the Consumer Fraud Act, creates a motor vehicle violation for the aftermarket tinting?
The violation is under 39:3-74, and that enables penalties generally of, I think, a fine of between 20 and, I think the limits are $20 to $500. My understanding is the general violation is a fine of $55.
So you refer back to 39:3-74.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
So for all those reasons, the state would ask that if this court decides to reach this issue, that it does agree with the court in Cohen and find as an easy and clear-cut rule that aftermarket tinting is allowed on rear windows and that no aftermarket tinting is allowed on front windows.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper-Dubb. Ms. McLean, brief rebuttal.
Yes. To start with Your Honor's question about 13:20-32.7, assuming I found the correct code provision on my phone, I believe it actually mirrors the 33.7. It's just 33.7 deals with private inspection facilities, whereas 32.7 deals with official inspection facilities. And so the same reasoning applies in that we used to inspect passenger cars for all sorts of things. Now we only check them for emissions. And so it is entirely irrelevant to the interpretation of the motor vehicle code.
At a private inspection station, the only examination conducted relates to emission standards?
I believe that's also the case at the official inspection station as well. In 2010, they passed the law saying passenger cars are now only checked for emissions and diagnostics of the onboard computer. And that was in 2010. That was after both the fraud statute and the medical exemptions. It's a later legislative enactment that says we don't check passenger cars anymore for these four things that aren't emissions related, primarily to save money, but that is a later legislative enactment. So I'll rely on everything I said when I was up here the first time about how 74 really doesn't apply to window tint. However, if this court's going to find that it regulates window tint that's somewhere in this area of not non-transparent, but is quite dark, it should adopt the same limitations as the court in Cohen did, of the tint has to be so dark that it's a significant obstruction. It can't just be any level of tint. It has to actually be a significant obstruction. And the officer is going to have to be able to articulate those facts.
What meaning do you give to the Consumer Fraud Act statute?
I think that it can't dictate what the Motor Vehicle Code makes as a violation. It can regulate the behavior of tint installers, but it can't make something a motor vehicle violation that is not a motor vehicle violation under Title 39. And insofar as it has any relevance, I do think it was enacted perhaps in response to Cohen's adoption of this regulation, but as I've said, the regulations don't apply anymore. There's now rules that say the law has changed, these regulations don't apply to passenger vehicles. So I think it has no relevance to what Section 74 means. Again, I think that's all I wanted to rebut on, unless the court has further questions.
Thank you. Thank you to all counsel. We'll take the matter under advisement.